Good afternoon. Welcome to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. This is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. We're located just two lights west of Highway 161 at the intersection of Mayfield and Waterwood Roads. You can also find us online at GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com. We're broadcasting live right now. Check in on Facebook at Facebook.com/GSBC. Listen for the joy. Now, here's Listen for the Joy.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's people, children, to reach God's chosen. We have as our guest today, pastor and minister Herman John Denson from Detroit. Also, Chad Garrett, who's a brother at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. As always, we have Pastor Willie Milbury of the Good Shepherd Church, and I'm Ed Fox, Director of Christian Education at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us. Our request line number is 972-996-3970. Now, here's Pastor Will.
Was that an appropriate pause?
That was an appropriate pause.
Anyhow, good afternoon, everybody. Good to be here. Your resident pastor, a little bit under the weather today. Throat's a little scratchy, but we're here because we got joy, and we're excited about the joy. We got Brother Chad joining us, one of the brothers at the church, steeped in the Word of God, and he's kind of filling in, not filling, he's coming alongside.
That's yeah. The word.
Coming alongside as we attempt to finish this mission of encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. That has been the stated goal from day one, and we're trying to get everybody on this demographic, all the people who listen to Heaven 97, you know, folks who love the Lord, but in this demographic of our community, there is very little outreach to the Jewish community.
Yeah.
And Romans 11:11 clearly says, Mr. and Mrs. Gentile, I saved you to provoke the Jews to jealousy. And the only thing that we can provoke them to jealousy with is the gospel message that their Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come. And he paid the price for all the sins. So that's why we're here today. Looking forward to it. And Brother Denson, Pastor Denson, is going to be joining us. Oh, I hear tell he's on the phone. Hey, y'all, now understand, y'all. This is our very first phone interview. Let's hear the crowd go. Anyhow, this brother, Lord brought this brother into my path about a month ago through a friend of a friend. And I have yet to meet him in person. But this friend of a friend said, I said that here we are, a couple of brothers, black folks, who God has just burdened us with, you know what? The gospel is to the Jew first, not exclusively, but the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so he said, Dr. Sibley, that's who it was, Dr. Sibley from Southwest Theological Seminary. Dr. Sibley said, you know what, Brother Will, you need to meet Pastor John Denson. And our first conversation, it was like talking to an old friend, because here, and I want to let everybody know, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen.
Amen.
Because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, boy, this is a really cool idea that we came up with. You know, we're going to do this. And I get Pastor Denson on the phone. He said, boy, where you been? So he's been at this for a long time. And I'm not going to take up any more time, but I want to give Brother Chad a chance to introduce you to Brother Chad Garrett, one of the members of Good Shepherd Baptist Church, a brother steeped in the Word of God. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy to be a part of the show today. So ready to hear from Pastor Denson. So looking forward to hearing what he has to say. As Pastor Will said earlier, he's been at it a long time, and we all have a lot to learn. But as we go on here, I want to give you all a couple of scriptures, and these are for joy.
Go ahead. You're going to get, because I know you're waiting with bated breath for me to do my daily dose of joy joke, but when your throat hurt, you can't tell jokes. Amen. So we got something better than a joke. Brother Chad is going to give us a scripture, and he's going to give us some exegesis of that scripture, and that scripture will bring you joy.
Joy.
Amen. All right. So those of you Bible students, Bible scholars, who have your Bible handy, turn to Psalms 95. Psalms 95. We're going to start in verse 1. And it reads, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Well, I'm glad Pastor Will gave me something easy to exegete on my first time out. Because if you can simply just take these verses as they are, let us make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
Hence the name of our show today, Listen for the Joy.
Amen.
So we are the, because of what Jesus has done for us, notice in verse 1 it does say the rock of our salvation. Because he's our salvation, we have this joy. And so we then can be, we're not the source of the joy, we're more like conveyors of the joy.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Joy that we have through our salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, before we go on, though, I want to go to one other verse. This is kind of for Pastor Denson also. I think he'll enjoy this one. This is Psalms 81, verse 1. And we're just going to do verse 1. So it says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto God, unto the God of Jacob. Now you may ask, why would I, as a Gentile, as a Baptist, a Protestant, why would I make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob? Now, I could give you an answer, but one of the things we're going to ask Pastor Denson to do is to give us his testimony, and he will tell you that he wrestled with the idea of the God of Israel, the God of the Jews, and the God of the Bible, the God that his mother introduced him to, Jesus Christ. So hang on, folks. Don't go away. You got to stay around to hear the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Pastor, are you there? Pastor Denson, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here, and a hearty hello to you and your radio listeners.
Well, welcome.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon, joyful brother. How are you?
Man, I couldn't be any happier. I get the pleasure of introducing you to the Dallas, Texas listening audience, and we're just excited here because after looking at your videos and your tapes and talking with you and just feeling the joy that you exude from the work that God has placed in your heart for the last, what'd you say, about almost 35, 40 years you've been doing this?
That's close to 40.
Okay.
A time of testing.
Amen. So,
I hear you.
So that's we're just newbies at this, and we're excited about it. And before we get started, I sent you a text. It was a last minute text. Would you have your wife check your calendar and see if you're available to join us on May 18th? Because I don't think we can get everything that we need to know about you today, and I want you to be able to pace yourself just in case. If not, you know, we'll get you right back here. But I just want you to think about that as we proceed with the program. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it so very much. Okay. Eddie,
Well, Pastor Denson, what we want to do today is kind of get a view of your background, a view of your history. We know that you spent a little bit of time in incarceration. And
No. That's called a gated community.
Oh, I'm sorry. We know you spent a little bit of time in a gated community.
Iron gated.
And we want you to kind of explain to us, again, a little bit of your background. So with that, you've got the floor.
Well, I appreciate that. I grew up here in the Metro Detroit area, what was commonly known as the Brewster Project. Most of your early Motown singers came out of that. As a matter of fact, I live close to Diana Ross and Stevie Wonder and those folks that you'd probably be familiar with. My mother and aunts and uncles did domestic work. They worked for Jews. And my mother used to take me with her to the Jewish homes, especially for the high holidays like Passover, Rosh Hashanah, of course, the Day of Atonement and New Year's, those types of things. So I got familiar primarily with the powerful God of the Jews, and I certainly was going to church. My dad was partially paralyzed, so he wasn't at the home. He was institutionalized because my mother couldn't take care of him. So a Jewish doctor that she worked for, obviously, over a period of time, became like a surrogate father. He would show me things in Scripture and talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I just couldn't reconcile the fact that the Jesus that I was aware of couldn't get us on the front of the bus. Killing the head. I mean, just doing all kinds of incredible things. So it was certainly confusing. But he would always say there's only one God, but he would never discourage me from pursuing Christian, what he called, beliefs. And he encouraged me to stay in school and pursue academic excellence. I was good at school, but I didn't like going to school, so I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a celebrity. So I dropped out of school and started singing, and after a certain group got rid of me, they became famous. So I began to do things, hang out with Jewish gangsters.
I never heard of such a thing as, this is Pastor Will, by the way. I never heard of such thing as Jewish gangsters. I thought all they did was make money.
No. We had a notorious group here called the Purple Gang. It was a little bit before my time, but in organized crimes, the Jews were the bank and the Italians were the bronze. People like Meyer Lansky, Siegel, Dutch Schultz, they're all Jews.
Dutch Schultz was a Jew?
Yes, sir. Bugsy Siegel, Dutch Schultz, Meyer Lansky, who was, matter of fact, the one who taught them all was a Jewish fellow who fixed the first World Series. he taught Lucky Luciano and the Italian, and they became an organization. But I worked with Jewish gangsters, and they liked how I operated. They said I had a lot of chutzpah.
What does that mean?
It means nerve.
Okay.
It's Jewish people describe chutzpah as, it's a picture of a fellow who kills his parents and then cries because he's an orphan. That's a lot of nerve.
Oh, my. That's a lot of nerve.
So these were your friends, right?
These were my friends.
Okay.
And the legitimate part of that, they owned furniture stores and finance companies, and I got into sales working in finance companies. Along for Jewish gangsters as well, who was a front for them and other types of things. But I ended up going to jail as a guest of the state.
In a gated community, no doubt.
As a guest of the state. So we were there on at least three different occasions. Last time I went, I was tried as a habitual. And it was there that a police officer who used to chase me through alleys, encouraged me to read the Bible, and he was always talking about Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, damn, God has a way of getting you isolated and getting you by yourself where you have no excuses. But the interesting thing is, by being in prison, I joined a Bible study to get out of going to work. And these guys were praying for paroles, and they were getting them. And, boy, I went to Bible study every week. And it was time for me to get parole. They didn't give it to me. I throw that Bible away. I said, oh, this don't work. And over a period of time, I started reading 1 John 1:9. A fellow named Chuck Colson came into the prison who was Nixon's henchman. He was in the Watergate scandal. He came into the prison and shared the gospel in a way that I understood it. And he asked anybody that wants to know more would stand up. I stood up, and he embraced me and started crying and gave me the scripture, 1 John 1:9, which I had been reading all along.
Amen.
And I was in my cell one day and reading that scripture, and it just hit me. And I got off my bunk, I got on my knees, and put my head down in the toilet and asked Jesus to come into my life.
Amen.
That old guy was flushed down the toilet.
Amen.
Out of there free. I was still locked up, but I was free.
Amen.
Let us, we're going to pause for a moment right there. You're locked up and still free. I'm going to let our listening audience know they're listening to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. This is a listener-supported ministry, which means you can donate by either mailing in a check or you can go to the church's website, GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com, and click on Give. This is an opportunity for you to support this ministry. I'm Ed Fox. I'm the Director of Christian Education at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We have with us our pastor, Willie Milbury, and one of the members of the church, Chad Garrett, and our honored guest today is Herman John Denson, pastor in Detroit. He's given us his life story and telling us how he began his ministry with evangelizing the Jewish community. So with that, you go ahead, Pastor Denson, and tell us the rest of your story.
Well, immediately after receiving Christ, I was assigned to a social ward for work detail, and he was a Messianic Jew. I shared the experience with him, and instead of doing work, he would sit down and...
Wait, Brother John,
hey,
pause for a minute. What is a Messianic Jew?
It's a Jewish person who believes in Jesus. He had came from an Orthodox Jewish home, and he had received Christ by faith. And instead of using the word Christian, he said Messianic.
Okay, and the reason I ask that is because our listening audience really needs to understand that even if a person is raised as a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish person or Reformed Jewish person, the Bible says we all have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's so pertinent to what we're trying to get out here. Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead.
The exciting thing is when a Jew comes to Christ, you know, that's his culture, that's his background. They see things that we as Gentiles somehow miss. But he was a dynamic individual, and he really discipled me in the faith. I had dropped out of high school. He encouraged me to get a GED, and then he prayed, and I got the doors open for me to get a furlough out of prison, which was unheard of. I got furloughed out of prison to go to Wheaton College, and my wife came up and joined me, and when we were there at Wheaton College, we met another Messianic Jew who shared principles of marriage and parenting. So God was using Jews all along, and over a period of time, I met the president of Youth for Christ, and he understood my background. And so when I got released, I came back to Michigan and started working immediately for Youth for Christ, working with street gangs in youth guidance, and we did that for about 4 years. Then I started working for Chuck Colson, going back into prisons. I think I'd been just about every prison in the country, and my wife used to say, you know, I'm always waiting for you to come home from prison. And God says, well, that's fine, you can go with him. So she started going with me, and we started doing marriage seminars and in the prisons in the federal system, and we were able to furlough guys out of prison to come to hotels where they could spend the weekend with their wives, and we would lead seminars. It was an incredible experience. But all the time, God was pushing me towards the Jewish people, and I finally met a rabbi, a local rabbi here, and we began to have a fellowship, Bible study, and interact, and his concerns were seeing Jewish people saved. My concern was seeing black people re-educated and the things that Jews were really excelled at. So we put together a program, and he advised me, well, you know, if you're going to be working with Jews, you're probably going to need more training. So for 4 years, my wife and I went to Christian Jew Foundation, and we were trained there in Jewish evangelism, and we actually became missionaries to the Jews under Messianic Perspective. That's probably the third largest Jewish evangelistic outreach in the country. Jews for Jesus, Chosen People in Messianic Perspective, which was formerly Jews for Jesus, Christian Jew Hour. So we began to meet Jewish people from all across the country.
Brother John, this is Pastor Will, just kind of jumping in here for a minute. So when you and your wife got into that program for Jewish evangelism, do you remember about how many black pastors or other folks of color who were participating in that program with you?
Oh, sure. Me and my wife.
I just kind of tossed that out there because it stood out.
That's one of the things when I first spoke to this brother on the phone, y'all. I just got to tell you, when I was telling him what we were doing here, I couldn't believe he was so excited. And he's like, "You got to understand, brother, it's lonely out here." And but brother John, we're working. You're working up there in Detroit. We're working here in Dallas to change that, because all of God's children are supposed to be reaching God's chosen. And so we start with the Jew, and we're starting in our community, but we have a ministry that we're trying to get out to the entire church, just to get folks to start talking, because you don't have to go someplace special to find Jewish people. God scattered them everywhere. So they're your coworkers, they're your schoolmates, your classmates. They are working at restaurants. They own restaurants, banks, doctors, lawyers. You're encountering them all the time. And if you just start talking, you're going to come across somebody. So they're going to say, well, you know, I'm Jewish. I don't really need that gospel. And that's how you identify them. You go, oh, well, now I know you really, you know. So, but we just, I'm so glad to be able to partner with you on this. So, Brother Chad, he's been real quiet here. Some people think he's mute, but he's not. He's got a little word that he'd like to ask you something here.
All right, look.
Well, before I do, Pastor Will, you touched on something that happens often. When you're trying to evangelize, I did have that exact situation where a young lady said, oh, no. She says, I'm Jewish. You know, I don't want to hear about it. I said, well, that's interesting. My favorite book was written by Jewish men. And she said, oh, which book is that? And I said, the Bible. And so there was a bewildered look on her face. One of the things, Pastor John, that I wanted to kind of ask you about. So you said Christian Jew Foundation. To a lot of people, that seems to be like an oxymoron. Christian Jew, Jew Christian. Would you just touch on, I guess, the biblical basis, the history together?
We read in Acts where it says they were first called Christians at Antioch. They were first called Messianic. You got to remember, the early believers were all Jewish.
Correct.
And of course, you read in Acts on the day of Pentecost, where they all came from different parts of the Holy Land and elsewhere, but they were all Jews, and they were a Jewish sect, they were called Messianic after they had, because they had believed that Jesus was the Mashiach or the Messiah, and the Christianity in its essence is the only religion that God has ever given, and what we call Christianity is completed Judaism. Jesus didn't come to change anything. He came to fulfill the prophecy.
Amen.
And in that respect, Judaism is the religion that God has given to man to reveal himself through. So Christianity is completed Judaism. The time of Constantine and all those transformations came about, and they were called Christians, but originally it was always Messianic. And what has happened in recent years, Jews who become saved like to refer to themselves as Messianic because they continue to keep their Jewish identity, and they want to celebrate the feast days and the Sabbath and those things that are uniquely to the Jewish people. So instead of saying Christians, they call themselves Messianic. And the Christian Jew Hour was a program that was targeting Jews and Christians, so they just used Christian and Jew to get people to tune in who were somewhat puzzled, what is a Christian Jew? And that's a misnomer. A Christian Jew is just Messianic. Getting back to that question earlier, I talk to Messianic Jews, and they tell me it's extremely difficult for them to go back into the Jewish community and witness to their loved ones or witness to any Jews. As a matter of fact, they're cut off. They're considered traitors because they believe in Jesus. And they, by far, every Jew that I have talked to in leadership tells me that the best people group to witness to Jews are African Americans, the black community.
Okay, so how's that?
Christianity reads different to Jews. Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, wrote some atrocious things about Jews towards the end of his life, and that got into the hands of Hitler, and hence the Holocaust. And Jews have been persecuted historically by what they perceive as Christianity. And they recognize that we as a people group have never really persecuted them. And they're somewhat puzzled why we as African Americans can accept Jesus, who sometimes is portrayed in their mind as Anglo-Saxon. And we say, no, he's Jewish.
Amen.
They love that. And the doors is open. There's a thing we put together. It's called a Fellowship of Suffering. We are both descendants of slaves. And in perpetual slavery, that does something to your psyche. It affects you emotionally and psychologically and spiritually. So Jews and blacks can identify with being a product of slavery. Now, the difference is that when we were in slavery, we had value. Jews, no value. They wanted to exterminate them, but they could buy and sell us. So it's a
good point. Never thought about it like that.
Different connotation. And when I talked to the Prime Minister's sister of Israel, she told me, she said, we are both descendants of slaves, but the difference is God delivered both Jews and blacks from slavery, but the difference, we left our oppressors, you stayed with yours. And that has affected your people tremendously. And there is so much truth in that. They left their oppressors and became a nation, self-sustaining. We stayed with ours and tried to integrate.
Amen. Well, I want to ask you more about that, but I'm going to pause right now and get in some advertisement here. You're listening to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen We're listener-supported ministry brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. And with that, we're having a Mother's Day celebration on Sunday, May 12th. And we'd like to invite you to come to Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1045 service so that we can enjoy Mother's Day and honor mothers in the way that we like to do at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. But even before that, at 9:15, we have Sunday school. And Sunday school, we talk about evangelism. We talk about sharing God's word with others, not just the Jews, but the Greek also, or Gentiles. So come on out and join us at Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Sunday, May 12th. Okay. Go ahead, well, Pastor Denson.
I want to toss something in here when he's talking about the whole thing, which I never considered the thought process of when you said, the lady said that the Jews had no value, and we had value. We could be bought and sold. And then she said that they left their oppressors, and we stayed with ours. But check this out. Acts 17:26, God said, put you there.
Yeah.
And they didn't leave. God pulled them out of Egypt just to do what? Scatter them among their enemies. And then he told, and with us, you know, when we look at, I'm blessed to have people from Nigeria and Kenya and other areas of Africa as members of our church. And you're like, so why are y'all here? You know? And then I look and I said, again, Acts 17:26. God said, I determined. And so no matter where he puts you, and no matter when he puts you, he still says, you can do all things through Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Which strengthens you.
Yeah.
And so, and that's the mindset. When I looked at your videos and stuff, and I see where God just burned that into you. Well, actually, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I think your mama beat it into you. She kept telling you, John. Hey, brother John. When she got mad at you, did she call you Herman?
No, call me John.
but at some point in time,
and a few other adjectives. So you know, the mantle that's been passed to us as black folks,
yes.
The leaf or the prayer shawl, it's been passed to us, and my concern is that we'll miss it. There's always been a fusion between Jews and blacks, and going back to Moses, he saw black Pharaoh sitting on the throne. Obviously, he married a Cushite or black woman, and Joseph married an Egyptian princess. The first black that was baptized and brought to the faith was baptized by a Jewish man. And he went back to Africa with the gospel. There's reasons why the gospel failed in Africa. But the idea is that blacks and Jews have a marriage. And like any marriage, you have ups and downs. When you begin to look at our history, historical black colleges were basically founded and funded by Jews, Sears and Roebuck and other folk of Jewish fame. Founded these colleges. You had Jewish professors who left Germany under Hitler and couldn't get a job at local seminaries or colleges, and so they went to black colleges and helped develop the curriculums and formats in the black colleges. The civil rights movement, one-third of the civil rights workers were Jews. That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Hitler and Swerner lost their lives in Mississippi for our rights to vote, and certainly there were Jews. There's a real history of blacks and Jews working together on social issues. I think our mandate is to get blacks and Jews to work together for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
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 A beatable combination.
Yeah.
And we have the key because God has placed us strategically within the Jewish community. We're the ones that see them in the workplace, and we see them in the marketplace, sometimes in the neighborhood. But we interact with Jews at every level, and there tends to be a fear of sharing the gospel with Jews because in our mindset we think that they know the gospel. No, we know the gospel. We know more about their history than they do. they are looking for a common Messiah. We already know who he is, but there's so much
Amen.
Dialogue that you can interact with the Jew over. I mean, the migrating patterns are the same. We tend to vote the same. Most Jews are liberal. We tend to vote liberal, but our theology tends to be conservative. But,
yes, that's the truth.
There are a lot of things that we have in common. And in Hebrew, there's no word for history. God just simply says, remember. And we need to remember how Jews have impacted our lives. And here in Michigan, you couldn't have had Motown without Jewish support, Jewish dollars. Jackie Robinson would have never integrated our national pastime if it wasn't for Hank Greenberg, a Jew who played for the Detroit Tigers, and he went through the same discrimination and debauchery that was aimed at him that they throwed at Jackie Robinson. So he was able to encourage Jackie to stay the course, and our pastime was integrated. And there are all kinds of stories that we miss between blacks and Jews, the dynamics. Even in pro basketball, which we excelled at, we couldn't get in it. So Abe Saperstein, another Jew, started the Harlem Globetrotters, and out of that, they were able to get into the pros. So it's just some amazing doors that were opened for us by Jews.
Well, one of the reasons why the blacks don't generally evangelized Jews is because we think that maybe they have their own program. They've got a special thing with God and they don't need to be evangelized. They're going to heaven by some other means. How true is that, if that's true at all?
Well, there's one prominent evangelist, for lack of a better word, that's telling Jews that they're saved by another covenant. That's called dual covenant theology. But our Bible tells us nobody can get to heaven, nobody, unless they go through the Son.
Amen.
Only Jesus. But they're telling the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah for the Gentiles, not for the Jews. And, of course, there's a replacement theology, which people are telling us that the church has replaced Israel in God's favor. And my response to that, if God didn't keep his word to Israel, he won't keep it to us.
Amen.
So
Israel has lost favor. Well, I don't know anybody that I thought grace was unmerited.
Pastor John, this is Chad Garrett. Let me ask you a question then. So you mentioned the word covenant. I saw that in your doctrine statement for Shalom Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And you said God will not break his covenant with Israel or with the Jewish people. If you will, just give us a quick explanation of covenant and what it is, what it means. It's a word that's tossed around a lot. And then specifically, which covenant is it that God is not going to break with the Jewish people?
Well, covenant, there are all kinds of covenant in the Old Testament. There's a shoe covenant when you made an agreement that all you had to do was exchange shoes. And if you wanted to break that covenant, you just re-exchange shoes. There was salt covenant where you took your salt and mixed it up with somebody else's. And if you could pull your salt out, you could break the covenant. But the kind of covenant we're talking about is a blood covenant. It's like a marriage. A young fella in Jewish history would go to the father and he would ask for a wife. And they would draw up a marriage contract. And there would be a price. So you have God the Son going to God the Father for a bride. And God the Father says there's a price. And what's it going to be? It's going to be your blood. And they drew up a marriage contract. That marriage contract is your Bible. Read it. That's your contract. So then the boy would go, and the girl would look at the contract. She'd read it, and if she agreed to it, he would pour a glass of wine into a cup, and she would drink it. That's what really communion is all about, or the Lord's Supper. That's why Paul tells us, who we refer to as the great Rabbi Shaul, do not partake of this unworthy. He's not really talking about sin. He's talking about without understanding what this means. But a covenant is an agreement, and the one that God has made with Israel is unconditional. what would happen, two men would take an animal and they'd cut it in half. One would start at the head, one would start at the foot. And they would make an agreement and then they would walk through it. And in a covenant, you had seven different agreements. The first thing that they would do, they would exchange names after they made the covenant. And they would make a vow and they would say, if I don't keep it, I'll let God do to me what we've just done to this animal. There was an exchange of robes, which was saying on your robe was your knife or your armor and your purse. So you were saying, now your battles are now my battles are now yours. But what was significant, at the end of the covenant, they would cut their wrists, and then he would put dirt in it, and so it would leave a scar. And everywhere they went, they'd hold up their wrists, and they would see that scar, and they knew they were in covenant with somebody. This is what the Bible is talking about when it says, in the latter times, when Christ comes, the Jews would look on the one they pierced. They'd see that covenant scar on his wrist and on his feet. They'll know that that's their Messiah. It's so enriching. There's a lot of things in that. But the covenant that God is talking about, obviously, is the Abraham covenant that God made with Israel. And in eschatology, we find that Israel is still...
Eschatology meaning end times, right?
Pardon?
Eschatology meaning the study of end times. This is Brother Fox.
God is, although God divorced Israel, you have to understand it is a Jewish divorce, not like a Gentile divorce. And but she is still the wife and the apple of God's eye. You know what happened? You start messing around with your eye.
Yeah. Or the wife.
He's still there. But we, you and I are the bride of Christ, which is a little different. Some theologians would say there's going to be a different destination for Jewish people who come as a nation as opposed to us who coming now as the bride of Christ. Interesting discussion. I don't know which is which, but it's an interesting discussion. But the thing is, we're that one new man. And in Christ, all things fall into place. But that covenant God has made with Israel, he's going to keep it. He's going to keep it.
Amen.
And still belongs to God. He just leased it to Israel. That's why it's so important that our government does not try to reinforce this two-state solution or try to divide the land. If you do that, God's going to do something. That the United States is going to divide us.
Yeah.
Amen. As a matter of fact, that's a good segue into, we have Aerial Ministries Saturday seminars, and where we go through the life of the Messiah from a Jewish perspective. We have an 8-part series. We've got 4 left. Part 5 on May 18th at Good Shepherd Baptist Church from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Part 6 on June 22nd, and Part 7 on July 20th. And then finally Part 8 on August 17th. All of these run from 8:30 to 1 p.m. You need to call in if you want to register and be a part of that. It's 817-504-4817. 817-504-4817. You can view on our website on how to do that at goodshepherdbaptistgp.com.
Now, Pastor John, Chad Garrett here again. Now, before we get back to the covenant, now, the name of your ministry is Shalom Ministries. Can you give us, is there a website? How can our listeners get your contact information for you?
Be happy to. The word Shalom, it means hello, it means goodbye, but in archaic Hebrew, it means... It's a peace that says that all the debt has been paid, that you can rest. It's a perfect rest, and that comes out of Christ. When you receive him, you receive that perfect peace and that rest. So it means all the debts have been paid and you've been redeemed. That's certainly appropriate for our salvation. So, Shalom, we're committed to bring peace to the Jew and the Gentile as well, that only can be found in the Jewish Messiah. But our website is www.shalomministry.com. and we're also on Facebook. And Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you for that information. So that is shalomministry.com on Facebook and Twitter also.
All right.
Okay, so back to the covenant. Now, you got me hooked here.
You got about 3 minutes, to 3 to 4 minutes to let us know about that before we have to move on, Pastor, on the covenant.
To the Jew, to the learned Jew, there's only one covenant. Now, we talk about the Abrahamic covenant, we talk about the Davidic covenant, we talk about several other things, but to the Jew, there's only one. That's the covenant God has made with man, who we refer to as the olive tree. When you and I receive Christ, we're engrafted in to that covenant. Not to Israel. People think, well, you know, you're engrafted into the nation of Israel. No, no, you're engrafted into the commonwealth of Israel, but it is through the covenant that God made with man through Israel that you receive everything that Israel has. Now, again, Israel is the natural branches. We are the wild branches, but the root is the olive tree. And within that perspective, the olive tree is that place where God has covenant with man. And that's why the Jews say there's only one. So when you receive Christ, you receive all the promises, all the gifts, everything that was given to Israel. And you read in Romans where Paul talks about, tells us who the Jews are. They're the ones who receive the covenant. They're the ones who see the prominence. They're the ones who see the glory. He's talking about the Shekinah glory, and that takes up a whole new connotation. They receive the services of God, the word altar, pulpit, priest. All that's Jewish. The Lord's Prayer, that's Jewish. And then Paul brings it to a head, is through whom the Christ came, the Messiah came. So all of that is part of the covenant. Now, you can get into different types of theology, but the simple way, the simple explanation is the olive tree. And nobody really does a study on the olive tree. There's so much confusion about the olive. Well, it's not really confusion. People just assume that the olive tree is Israel. It's not Israel.
I tell you what, Brother John, I like the fact that you keep using the word that is pretty simple. Because we have a philosophy at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. It was Dr. Robert Reed at Southern Bible Institute. Oh, who was Charles? It's Charles Reed at Southern Bible Institute. And Dr. Reed, on our first day of pastoral preaching technique, yada, 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 Dr. Reed said, number one, avoid the urge to be profound. And that's where you get so many of your theologies from, where everybody wants to come up with something new. And the Bible, if God says that you might know, that means we should be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be all that deep. So thank you so very much for what you're doing with the work that you're doing.
We'd like for you to come back next week and join us if you can.
Nope, Pastor. Not next week.
I'm sorry, our next time, 2 weeks from May, yes. It's May 18th.
Yes.
We got the nailed down. I wrote it out. I'm locked in the room. My grandkids are here, and if they come in, oh, Lord. let me tell you, the best thing for grandkids is make sure they're saved, then shoot them.
Yeah, so you ensure they go to heaven right then and there. But yes, we're looking forward to that. I want to remind our audience that we have Mother's Day coming up on May 12th, Sunday. The service is at 10:45. Sunday school is at 9:15. We also have the 9th annual Women's Tea. Carry the gospel wherever you go is the theme. That's on Saturday, June 15th, from 10 a.m. to 2:30. It's free to attend. It's for all ladies, 18 years and older. We don't have any babysitting facilities, so you'll have to come without the kids, but it'll be worth it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, out of Matthew 28, verse 19. We also have the 9th annual Burgers and Fries, Just for Guys, Saturday, July 27th, 10 a.m. to 2:30. It's free to attend for all men 18 years and older, and leave the kiddies at home. Our theme is, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do.
Okay, Pastor John, I'm going to let you sign out of here. And my brother, my friend, I'm prayerful that you'll be able to come back with us on the 18th. And everything will work out just fine. Lord willing, say the same. And again, please, you continue to hold down the fort up there in Detroit.
Amen.
And you can help these newbies down here in Dallas. Help us get started, because this is a major calling. God is. We thought that God put the Jews and the black folks together for desegregation, which is a good thing. I benefited greatly. But you know what? I believe that God put us together for salvation for his people.
For the cause of Christ.
We settled for the urgent and passed on the important. So, a good thing God gives us a redo. I like that.
Amen.
God gives us
another
a redo.
Chance.
So, my brother, I'm gonna let you got anything. I'm gonna let you sign out, and then we're gonna wrap this thing up.
Well, in a covenant, there's two blessings. One is the bank. One is the spiritual blessing. We as believers, we have the spiritual blessing, but Israel still has the bank. So, you put the bank with the spiritual. There's nothing we can't do.
Amen.
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 So God bless you. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to being with you several weeks from now.
God bless. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
My brothers,
that was fantastic.
I'm just about ready to drive to Detroit.
With your good eye.
With my good eye. Y'all, after my eye surgery, I'm getting blind in one eye. I can't see out the other.
Oh, you may want to fly, Pastor. Easier to fly. Easier
okay.
To fly.
But when we do programs like this, I could just about fly without the plane. Because getting to serve God,
amen.
Y'all, that's the joy. And finding folks, sometimes you feel like Elijah. You say, ain't nobody out there but me. Yeah. And God says,
Let
me open your eyes. So for those of y'all out there who are of this mind, where you love the Lord and you know those are his chosen people, you know it. Let us bond together, pray together, work together to get this message, to get this good news to them, because you cannot work your way to heaven. I don't care who you are. You cannot work your way to heaven. It's by faith and faith alone.
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Eddie, is there anything else that you got for us?
Well, we've got August is Christian Education Month over at the church, Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1880 Mayfield Road. And we're looking at a theme that we talk about, discipling saints who are using the sun, the light of the sun, S-O-N, to disciple saints on the edge of night. That is to say that there are many Christians who profess to be Christians, but have firm footing in the world. They'd be hard-pressed to disagree with the world on any of the main points of Christianity. And so in order to bring them back, we're having as our theme, and August is Christian Education Month, to disciple them back, using the light of the sun to disciple saints on the edge of night.
I think if we get into that theme pretty good, I think one of the things that Pastor John said would be it would behoove us to delve into it a little bit more, when he was saying how we basically vote liberal, but our theology is very, very conservative.
Right.
And we have to find that disconnect. Where is that disconnect? in our community. When we say we love the Lord and we serve Jesus Christ, and then soon as we walk into a voting booth, it just changes.
Exactly.
So
we serve the cause of Satan.
And what does the scripture say? Be ye hot or be ye cold.
Yeah.
You know,
not lukewarm.
Yeah. Let's, my brothers, I thank y'all for joining with us here today. And sister producer, she's back today. She was on leave from us last program, and she came back to rescue us. And so, good to see you, Sister Barbara.
Thank you very much.
She got a wisdom tooth taken out.
Don't y'all forget now, Mother's Day. Barbara, are you a mother? Yep, mm-hmm. She's a mom. So Mother's Day, May 12th, Sunday. That's right. Come on over 10:45 for the service and 9:10.
Okay. So they already hit Easter.
Yep.
Okay. So we can get a twofer.
Mother's Day.
And then you're on your way to Christmas.
That's No. You're on your way to Father's Day. Come on, man.
You know, ain't nobody going on Father's Day. Ain't nobody paying attention on Father's Day.
Yeah, they're called CMEs, Christian Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. There's no F in there for Father's Day.
Thank y'all. God
All
bless
right.
y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.
Listen for the joy.
God's and crank up the joy.
Amen. God bless.
This edition.
So.